for probably at least two years. And we're on Psalms 93 tonight. It's a short psalm, but it is a blessing. So if you can come, and we'll get out about 7 o'clock tonight. So if you can be here at 6, then with us, we'll sing that song there tonight, okay? All right, we're preaching through Hebrews chapter number 11. And of course, that's called the Hall of Faith. Not the Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Faith. And we've been talking about Moses. Brother John, would you put that map up there for me? I wanted to show y'all. Now, we're going to be talking about Jericho today. But we talked about 29, verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. And we did not have our other projector. Isn't that good? You can actually see these things now. That's a blessing. Right up here. Oops, excuse me. Right up here is Ramesses. This is where they were. And, of course, this is the Nile River right here. Here's the pyramids over in this area right there. There's Cairo, Egypt. Of course, this is Egypt here. This is the Sinai Peninsula. And a lot of terrorism goes on here, even today. The black is the old. Let me see. Can y'all see that over there where you're at, Kobe? Or is that piano in the way? It's in the way? Okay, can you put that down for me right there? Okay. The black is the old name, and this is what it's called now. The red is new. Of course, this is the Suez Canal here, and I don't have the whole map up here, but here are the two arms of the Red Sea. The Red Sea's down here. Of course, it goes down into the Arabian Sea, and then the Indian Ocean would be way down in here, and North America would be way over there, of course, and so it's interesting to see how, okay, this is the Mediterranean Sea up here, okay? But John, would you go down just a little bit? Would you move that thing right here on the side, right there, if you would, right there, Brother John? See right there where that red thing is? And just pull that down like that, if you would, right there. Right here, Brother John. See your arrows up there? Come right over here. Right over here, Brother John. Nope. Okay. Right up here. You see right there? No? All right. Forget the Mediterranean Sea. Okay. All right. Anyway. Okay. Just go ahead and, yep. Okay. All righty. Right there, Brother John. Hit that one right there if you would. Now just kind of, okay, right down here, Brother John. See, look right here. Right there. Go back that direction. Okay. And pull it back over that way if you would. All right. Now you can pull it down this way. Okay. All right, right there you go. Amen. Good. I appreciate Brother John doing that back there. And, we'll get back over here to that map, wherever that map's at. Whichever. It's not that map, Brother John. So, okay, I'm not sure. There it is right there. There it was right there. Okay. Now, go back up that way just a little bit. All right, very good. Okay, back up that way a little bit, Brother John. There you go. All right. But maybe it's not on that map there. I'm not sure. But there it is. Okay. This is the Mediterranean Sea right here. Of course, this is right here is Israel, of course, right there. All this. This is the West Bank. That's the Gaza Strip. There's Lebanon up there. This is Jordan over here. Down over here would be Saudi Arabia. So, okay, just to kind of let you know where all this is. Now, Brother John, if you go back that way just a little bit. Okay, here's where they were. Ramesses right there. Okay, they left their exodus over here and they went to this place. And then, now, we talked about how that sometimes God's will goes against human reasoning. Okay, here's where, okay, Brother John, if you'll pull it down just a little bit down here. Down here, okay, right there, thanks. That's Mount Sinai and that's where they were eventually going. You see, this says the wilderness. Remember, they were to go into the wilderness for 3 days and sacrifice. Remember that? Okay. Just go back up here just a little bit, Brother John, right up here. All right, so they left here. They went over here. Now, human reasoning would have said, now remember, the Suez Canal was not there during that time. So human reasoning would have said, all right, let's just go this direction and right down here, right? But here's how God took them. God took them this direction, right down here. And Pihahiroth is somewhere right over here. We don't know positively, but it's somewhere right over here. Now, if you wanted to get over here, then you wouldn't go this way, because there's no way you're going to be able to get across, is there? And further down, of course, these are two arms here of the Red Sea, and the Red Sea goes on down like this. So they're not going to be able to cross. But they obeyed God. That's why the Bible says, by faith. They did this by faith. They obeyed God, and they went down here to Pi-Hahiroth, which is, again, probably, if you'll go back up just a tad there, Brother John, probably right in here somewhere, because they did cross right in here, and then they went 3 days here to Mara, right over here. This is where they didn't have water over there. Remember that story? So they were right here. And again, Pharaoh said, we've got them trapped. Now, you can't see this on here, but the topography of this is such that there's mountains around this, so they couldn't go back that way once they got there, because there were so many people there. They couldn't go this direction. Of course, they couldn't go this way because Pharaoh's army was coming down here, so the only way they had to go was this way. All right, Brother John, put that other picture up if you would, please. I found an artist rendering of the crossing of the Red Sea that I liked. You see this here? Look right here. See, here is the water stood up on both sides. See, over here would be the other side. And all the children of Israel going through, their horses, I mean mules, all the cattle, all everything they had, about 2 million of them with all their animals walking across the dry land and the sea right up here like this. Isn't that a blessing? And they did that by faith. Okay, now, I was reading what Dr. Henry Morris said about all this, and Dr. Morris said, we don't know what, of course he was a scientist, what scientific means that God used to defy gravity right here, because gravity is not going to have water standing up on a heap like this, is it? No, it's going to come down, right? But anyway, God created everything, so that was no problem for the Lord. And he dried up the land. It wasn't muddy here. So this is a miracle in itself. This is a miracle right here. So, again, they had to get over here to the other side. And then they went on down to Mara, like we said. So, by faith, they did that. The whole group of them. All right, now we come to verse number 30. And here they are again, the children of Israel. Now, this is interesting because this crowd is a different crowd of people than verse 29. Verse 29 says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. All right, look up here. Let me just give you some background here. If you will remember, okay, they came out of Ramesses up there. But John, can you put that map back up there again, please? They came out of Ramesses right up in here, back up in that direction. They camped right over here somewhere. They crossed the Red Sea over here. Now, this is all of them, okay? The whole crowd of them, all right? When Moses, later on, sent out the 12 spies to check out Canaan, remember they came back? Two of them brought a good report, Joshua and Caleb. 10 of them brought a bad report. Those 10 died in the plague. And then the whole nation, all the men in Israel, over the 20 years old and above, none of them believed God except Joshua and Caleb. That's it. And there were over 603,000 of them. And so because of that, they wandered around out here in the wilderness. Now, eventually they're going to go over this direction, and they're going to, Brother John, if you'll go up here just a little bit or pull that back down a little bit there. Eventually, they're going to cross right there. Okay, this is where we're talking about, right here. There's Jericho. So they wander around out in the wilderness, and then they eventually come over here like this. And now, this is this verse here, okay? Here, okay, this is the Jordan River. Here is the Sea of Galilee. I've preached on the Sea of Galilee before, right up there. And then here's the Jordan River that runs down the Sea of from the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has no outlet. Okay, nothing lives in the Dead Sea. You can go out there and you can lay out there and you're not going to sink because there's so many minerals in the Red Sea. I'm sorry, the Dead Sea. No fish there, nothing. No plant life there. Now, this is interesting. I say no plant life, none lives inside of there. But right here on the edge, okay, this is just a little place. That's En Gedi. Every time we've been there, we've stopped there. There's a little restaurant there. There's a little tourist shop there. From En Gedi, if you'll remember the story of David, there's caves all up here. All this is very mountainous all up in here, very rugged. And this is where the area where David was at when Saul came in there. Remember that? And David's men said, kill him. That's all in this area right here, En Gedi. Well, we stopped right there every time we go down there. And from En Gedi right here, you can look right here on the edge. I mean, on the banks of the Dead Sea. And the Israelites are growing date palms right on the shores of the Dead Sea where nothing grows. I mean, beautiful groves of date palms. It's amazing. But, okay, they're going to come up here and they're going to cross right there. They're going to cross the Jordan River. And, of course, now, we talked about God drying up the Red Sea, and I mentioned that God stopped the waters of the Jordan River so that they could cross. Okay, first city they come to is the city of Jericho. So that brings us to our verse 30. The Bible says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, okay, all of this crowd right here, the one that crossed down in here, all of those 603,000 men, 603,000 and some more, about 500 and something, I think. But all of those men died out in the wilderness during all that 40 years of wandering out there because they didn't believe God. And they died because of unbelief. So, now, the 10 spies that came back and brought the bad report said that our wives and our children are going to be killed by the giants and all that over there. I think that's interesting because they're the ones that died, and the wives and the children, they got to go in. So all the men that would have been 19 and down, okay, now they come over here 40 years later. They're the ones going across this place over here now. So between verse 29 and verse 30 is a period of about 40 years, okay? Because they left over here, crossed the Red Sea over here, and then wandered around for 40 years. And then after those 40 years, they crossed right over here, and they went to Jericho. Now, my wife and I have been to Jericho. It's interesting, because we talked about Nazareth this morning. Nazareth is a Palestinian Authority city. Okay, very dangerous for Jews to go there. There are some Jews there, Jewish businessmen there, but very dangerous for them to go there. And matter of fact, when we went, no, that was Bethlehem. Bethlehem's a Palestinian Authority city too. We had to change guides to go there, but we didn't have to change guides to go into Nazareth. But it is a Palestinian Authority city also now, an Arab city. And so is Jericho right here. Now, if you'll look here, I want to show you something here. This is Israel. Okay, here's the boundary right up there. Just right above that little line right there is Lebanon. Okay. Brother John, can you go on down this way, right down here? Okay, yeah, keep going that direction. I don't know if that map goes down there, but if you can go this way, yeah, there we go. Keep going. Yeah, okay, there we go. Keep on going. Okay, stop right there. This is the bottom of Israel right here. Okay, this is a big tourist place right here. That's Jordan right there. Here's Saudi Arabia right there, the Sinai Peninsula right there. So, now go back up, Brother John, if you would, right there. Israel is not very big, okay? It just goes to right there and down to there. And here's the Gaza Strip, which our President George Bush, some man this week made a statement and said that George Bush had the most destructive presidency ever. Well, I know this, for Israel, in modern times, George Bush was the most destructive president we've ever had in relation to Israel. He and Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of State, really put pressure on the leadership there, the Prime Minister and the leadership there in Israel, to give the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians. Okay? And they did. And I know people. I have talked to people. I know people that used to live here. There used to be businesses here. They used to grow a lot of things here, beautiful neighborhoods. When they gave that away, those Palestinians, the Arabs came in there and literally destroyed it. I mean, destroyed it. Literally, I'm not joking. You can go check it out. Okay, they did. They destroyed those houses. They destroyed all the synagogues. Destroyed the warehouse. I mean, the greenhouses and stuff. All of it. Just destroyed it. And now, of course, it's a haven for terrorists over here. And then here's the West Bank. Now, they call it the West Bank because it is on the West Bank of the Jordan River. This is the area right here that the Palestinians say this right here, this right here, and of course, here is Jerusalem right there. East Jerusalem is all part of their state, okay? And we hear all the time about a two-state solution, okay? The Israelites, the Hebrews, and the Arabs all living side by side in peace. Guess what? That is never going to happen, ever. Never. We have forced Israel to give away all kinds of land. And now, think about this. There's only about 16 million Jews in the whole world. There's a little over 6 million of them that live in Israel. And all of this land here, look how big Egypt is here. Saudi Arabia down here. Here's Jordan over here. There's Syria up there. None of those Arab countries want to take any of those poor refugees that are left in Israel, the Arabs are always talking about the refugees and how mean and cruel Israel is to them. They were left there when we're not going into all the history there, but they were Arabs from all those countries that got stuck there when they divided all that land up. But none of these Arab countries want to take any of them, but they want to take Israel's land away from them right here. They don't have much land. This is the West Bank. This is Samaria and Judea here. Judea and Samaria. Okay? And we have been there. When you drive in here, into the West Bank here, they have Palestinian Authority soldiers there. And there's Israelis in there also. But it's a really, really unique situation. And there are still all kinds of mines here that were planted years ago between these two countries right here. And It's really something. But, okay, so here's Jericho, and it's a modern city today. Now, this is interesting, because when we got to Jericho, our Jewish guide had to get off the bus. Because if he went into Jericho, he might not come back out alive, because it's a Palestinian city. And so he got off the bus, and we had an Arab guide that took us in there. When you drive in there, Palestinian policemen there that, you know, at the checkpoint. When you drive in there, there's a big, huge casino. A multi-story, beautiful hotel and casino. And it was built by Yasser Arafat, who started, you know, he was the PLO guy, arch terrorist. And it's interesting because the Jews can't go in that city. But Yasser Arafat had that hotel and casino built, and they would send buses out to different places in Israel, pick up Jewish people, escort them to that hotel where they could gamble, and they could lose money because that's what they needed, and they wouldn't mess with them. And then they'd take them back out on buses again. But interesting. Jericho is where the story of Zacchaeus took place, and we passed a tree. I don't know if it's the exact tree. It is on the main route, the main road in Jericho, and it is a sycamore tree. It's huge, and scientists say it's probably 2,000 years old at least. So I don't know if it's the one Zacchaeus climbed in, but it very well could be. Of course, for tourist purposes, they say it is. There's a sign that says it is. This is where Elisha's spring is at. Remember Elisha, the great prophet, and they couldn't drink the water, and he poured in the cruse of salt and healed the water? That's there in Jericho. It's called Elisha's pool right there. And so anyway, those are the things in Jericho. Now, there are ruins of the old city walls. Archaeologists, of course, they're studying all the time over there. These walls were huge. They were about probably 30 feet tall, and they were wide enough to have chariot races on the top of the walls. Now, they were huge walls. People lived in the walls and on the walls. Rahab the harlot lived in a house on the wall or in the wall, however they did that. So it was, they were huge walls. So when they get to Jericho here, okay, that's the first city. Now imagine that. They've been wandering around for 40 years. They're finally going into the promised land. There's a whole other crowd now because all the men that left, crossed the Red Sea, over 20 years old, they're all gone. Now all the kids are all grown up. So that's why, by the way, God gave the Ten Commandments again in the book of Deuteronomy because he gave them to a whole other generation. Okay, so they get ready to finally go into the promised land and God's going to deliver it to them. And the first place they come is a fortified city that is just, I mean, it's, you know, it would be mind-boggling to look at that thing. Okay, now, if you were inside that city, you were safe. There wasn't any army going to be able to knock the walls of that city down. They didn't have, battering rams wasn't going to touch that city wall. So, you can imagine the children of Israel, they get there. Now, Joshua's their leader when they go in, and they get there, and of course, God's going to deliver this, okay? So that's what this whole verse is about. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, let's go to Joshua chapter number 6, and we'll see this story here. Joshua chapter number 6 is where this story takes place. The whole idea here is the faith of the Hebrews. It was their faith that God blessed, and God knocked the walls down. Now, I don't know if this is so, but I've read some archaeology and I've read some other places, and I don't know that this is so, but some archaeologists really believe, because the Bible says, well, let me go over here. Let me get over here. Verse number 20. Joshua 6:20. Now, this is at the very end of this, but it says, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. That phrase, every man straight before him, that means a frontal assault. So many archaeologists believe that the walls didn't just go like this, fall down like this. Many of them believe the walls fell down like this so that the Israeli army, the Hebrews, they could just walk right in. And besides that, if they'd have fell out this way, probably some of the Hebrews would have been crushed because they were huge walls. And so a miracle that they fell down, but wow, it doesn't. I mean, if they fell down this way or this way, of course, God's the one that did that, but what an amazing thing for the Hebrew people to be standing there and see those huge walls just go like this. And they just went right in there. And so this is an amazing story here. But their faith is what caused all of this to happen. So the promise for faith. Look, that's the very first thing here in the message. Joshua 6:2. No, I'm sorry, Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. So there's the promise for faith. That would have been encouraging, wouldn't it? They get to this big city, an awesome-looking city there, huge city. There's no way they could take that city. And imagine thinking this. We're supposed to take the whole place, and this is the first city we got to deal with. But they had a promise from God. And that promise was, I'm going to give you this city, the king and all the men of valor. Look, when God asks us to do difficult things, God's going to give us promises so that we will be encouraged in carrying out what God has commanded us to do. Now, this is amazing. There's no arguing, there's no debating, there's no protests, nothing recorded in the scripture whatsoever. God told them, I'm going to give you the city, and God told them how to do it, and I think they just had a good lesson. They've been wandering out in the wilderness for 40 years, because the last time God told them to do something, they didn't believe him.
So now they did believe him. And so that's the promise for faith. You see, God encourages our faith. And I sure am glad about that. We must stay in this book. If you and I don't read this book on a daily basis, we're not going to be able to maintain our relationship with the Lord. Have you figured this out? Life is tough. You know that? There's difficulties, and there's trials, and there's dark days, and there's kids that don't do the right thing, and there's grandkids that don't do the right thing, and there's financial troubles, and there's people that, you know, steal from your 401k, and there's all kind of things that happen in life. And if you and I don't stay in the book, we're going to get so discouraged, we're just going to quit. I mean, we get discouraged even if we are doing what we're supposed to be doing sometime. But if we don't stay in this book, we're not ever going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. If Joshua would not have believed God, then the story would have been different here. Now, we know that God promised them the land, so he would have given them the land, but we wouldn't have seen it happen like we see it in the Bible had Joshua not just believed God. Joshua was a great man, obviously. He was Moses' minister. So he was like Moses' right-hand man, his assistant pastor, whatever you want to call it. So we see the promise for faith. Now the precepts for faith. I have mentioned several times, faith must have a precept. In other words, there must be something given by God that we base our faith upon. Okay, now here is the precept. Verse number 3. And ye shall, this is Joshua 6. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. So we're entitling this message the compassing of the Hebrews. They compassed the city 1 time a day for 6 days, and then on the 7th day they did that 7 times. Now the Bible says, all ye men of war. I don't know exactly how many people that would be. It would have been a lot of people, okay? There were 2 million people altogether, but not all 2 million of them marched around there every single day, okay? He says here, all ye men of war. And again, I don't know how many that would be, but it would still be a big number, that's for sure. So that's the divine precept right there. They had an order from God to do what they were doing. So their action was based on a precept from the Word of God. Now, here's what we got to understand. The promises of God are not without precepts. Our generation and our world wants all the promises, but they don't want any precepts to go with it. They want all the blessings, but they don't want to do what they're supposed to do. They don't want to do, again, just let me use this illustration of tithing, okay? I don't harp too much on tithing, believe me. I don't think you could say too much about it. Because God is the one that said, do it my way and it'll work out. But let's just take this, okay? Okay. Many, many people who are believers, they do want the windows of heaven open. They want God to open the windows of heaven and give them the blessings, but they don't want to tithe first. If you want the windows of heaven to be opened and you want to receive the blessings of God, then you've got to do what God said. God said, bring all the tithes in the storehouse and prove me now herewith if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive it. So you see, the precept is you tithe, then God will open the windows of heaven like only he can. And we could go all through the Bible and see the same thing. Here's a precept. God said, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. But if you won't, then here's what's going to happen. And we live in a world that wants all the blessings, but they don't want any responsibility to go with it. They don't want any precepts. That's why they have new translations that have taken out all the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots. They have rewritten, people have rewritten the Bible to fit their lifestyle. That's not how it works. We are supposed to change our lifestyle to line up with the Scripture, not the opposite. Okay, so my nose is itching here. It's not running, I promise you, but it's just itching. And I must have forgot my handkerchief. Faith will believe the promises and obey the precepts. And faith and obedience are inseparable. If you're living by faith, you're going to obey what God tells you to do. Because faith and obedience go just like this. When you're living by faith, you're going to obey the Lord. Those ladies that were here the other night, they went to a very, very good church in Long Beach, California. And one of the best churches in California. And that pastor, Brother John Wilkerson, still is a very, very good man of God. But God called him to leave that church there, and it was a good church, and go and take the pastorate of First Baptist Church in Hammond, which used to be the largest independent Baptist church in the world at one time. And it's still a big church. But now he is there, and it's really a blessing that he's there. He's really helped that church, and they were really having some problems. It's a huge church. That's where Howells Anderson College is from. That's where Fundamental Baptist Missions is from, which we support a couple of their missionaries. But she said that when Brother Wilkerson, when God called Brother Wilkerson, she said, I was heartbroken because we loved him and we loved our church. And I'm sure that it was tough for Brother Wilkerson to do that. But that's what God wanted him to do, and he made it very plain to him. And so Brother Wilkerson obeyed the Lord because he was living by faith. Now, I know you're not a pastor, but whatever it is in your life that God wants you to do, and you have a Bible precept for that, if you'll just step out by faith and obey, then God is going to do what he said he will do. And I've heard my wife say this before when God does wonderful things. She says this, that's just God doing what God does. We got a wonderful God. We've got a big God. The same God that opened the Red Sea, he can open the Red Sea in your life, whatever the Red Sea is. And he can do what only he can do. So if we have true faith, we'll accept the precepts of God, the Word of God, and obey them. Then we see the perplexity for faith. Now, the perplexity for faith is simply in the strange orders that God gave. Walk around the city one time a day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, walk around it seven times. 6 plus 7, that's 13 times they were to walk around the city. And then when the priest blew on the horns, the ram's horns, at a certain time, they were to all shout and the walls were going to fall down. Now that's strange orders indeed, but they obeyed what God said, no matter how strange it seemed, and God knocked those walls flat. Now, God obviously didn't knock the wall part down where Rahab was at, because they went in and got her, and then after they got her and all her family, then they burnt the whole city, and they destroyed the whole place. There are still ruins there in Jericho of the old walls from all those thousands of years ago. Again, it might have looked very foolish to human reasoning to do this, but they did it, and God did what he said. What about God's orders to Naaman when he was bidden to bathe his leprous body in the Jordan River? You go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and when you come up the 7th time, your leprosy will be gone. That's strange orders, right? But yet, hesitantly, of course he didn't obey right away, but then he did, and when he came up the 7th time, he was healed. What about Elijah? Strange orders. Elijah, you go to where I'm going to tell you. You go to Zarephath. There is a widow lady there. She's preparing her last meal, and that's it. They have no more food. But you go there, and that widow lady is going to take care of you. And so Elijah went, And God took care of Elijah and the widow lady. And you can just go on and on and on. What about the 12 apostles? Do you think this sounds weird? You take this 5 loaves and 2 fishes and start distributing them amongst the 5,000 men and the other thousands of people that were there. And do you imagine that they might have looked at each other and said, okay, I don't know. We probably would have. We'd have probably said something like this. The Lord's been out in the sun too long. He might be a little touched in the head because this ain't going to feed all these people. But the Bible says they ate until they were full. Now, I've been to fish fries before, and I know this. People can eat a lot of fish. I know that not only men can eat a lot of fish, women can eat a lot of fish. And children can eat a lot of fish. And all of them were full. And there were 12 baskets full left. I don't know how all this happened, but wouldn't it be something if the Lord told Peter and James and John, Matthew, Bartholomew and all them, if the Lord said, all you guys grab a basket, you follow that little boy to his house, and you carry those baskets back home to his mama. Imagine, I don't know if that happened or not, but there were all those baskets full. Imagine that little boy going home with Peter, James, John, all the apostles. I don't know if it happened like that, but it might have. Because that little boy, obviously that little boy just believed the Lord could do a miracle because he said, it ain't much, but here it is. And gave it to the Lord. You see, if we'll just give the Lord what we have, he can use it to do things like this. But sometimes the message or the orders that God gives us might not make any sense. Does it make, okay, listen, according to human reasoning, I'm going to use the illustration of tithing again. Okay, we take, let's say you make $400 a week, okay? You take that $400 and you give the Lord the first 40 because that's His. He said the tithe belongs to the Lord, so the first 10%, tithe means 10%. So the first $40 is not mine, it's His. Does it make sense that if I can't make it on $400, I'm going to be able to make it on $360? Human reasoning, does that make sense? No. But here's what everybody in here that tithes, and we do have people here that tithe, and thank God this is a giving church. But maybe you're struggling with this. Maybe you don't understand how all this works. It works by faith. You just do what God said. You give Him His 10%. And then the other 360, God can take that, use it to meet all your needs. You say, how does that work? It works because God is the one that's doing it. God can make your car last longer. God can make you visit the doctor less. God can make your shoes last longer. God can make your food last longer. God can do all those things because He's God. And I know that we can... We have a member of our church who said this, Pastor, I don't understand it. The more I give to missions, the more God just keeps giving back to me. And humanly speaking, there is no way that that's possible. But He said, my bank account just keeps growing. That's what He said. That's what He told me. I don't know how it works either, but I know it does. In our offering envelope there, we gave our missions, we gave our tithe. That's the first thing that we pay. And you know, God has taken care of us for all of these years. All of these years. Why? Because God's the one that said to do it. We have a precept, right? We just obey. And then the perspiration for faith. The orders given Joshua involved considerable work. God didn't just say, all right, all you folks, you just sit by your campfires for the next 7 days. And after, on the seventh day, everybody just shout, and I'll knock the walls down. No, God gave them some work to do. Faith doesn't just sit on the pew or sit on the couch and expect God to do everything. Faith and perspiration go together. Faith and work go together. They had to work at walking around the walls. Now, this was a big city, so it took some effort to walk around the wall. So it took work. The seventh day, they were to march around Jericho 7 times. Here's what we learned from that. Effort is required if we're going to live by faith. You look at all of these people mentioned, every one of them mentioned in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, and you're going to find this out. They had to do something. The Bible says by faith they obtained a good report, but their faith involved some effort. Don't expect God to just do miracles if you won't do anything for Him. If you won't do anything for God, don't expect Him to do anything for you. Faith is not for the lazy and for the sluggards. Faith, if you're living by faith, it's going to require some effort. But I can tell you this, all the effort will be worth it. No person pays better than God does. Nobody. And then there's the peril for faith. Look up here. The peril for faith. Doing what God said could have been very dangerous for them. Understand this. There were men of valor. That means they were men of war inside the city of Jericho. You see, one of the things about these cities is the archers could get on top of the walls and shoot down arrows on the enemy, and you would have a hail of arrows coming down. You wouldn't survive that, would you? But nobody molested them the whole 7 days. They were out there walking around. Do you think the people and the soldiers were on top of the wall watching them? I would imagine so. But yet God protected them. Living by faith does not exempt one from perils, but living by faith will be the best means of protection that there is. God can protect you. God protected Moses, didn't He? In front of Pharaoh. God protected Elijah. You see, God told Elijah to go to Zarephath. Guess what? That was home territory for the woman that was seeking to kill him, which was Ahab's wife, Jezebel. That's where she was from. And he said, go to the woman's home territory that's after you, and said, I'm going to kill you when I find you. Isn't that something? I would have thought, excuse me, Lord, you know that's where the lady's from? And the lady said, when she catches me, that's it. I'm done for. How about going that way instead, Lord? But God sent him right, and God took care of him. What about David? David acted in faith when he went out before Goliath. We talk about how great David was. Yeah, but Goliath was over 9 feet tall. I mean, a little guy. I don't know how old he was, 18, 19, some, maybe some 17. I don't know for sure. Somewhere around in there. But, yeah, but you know what? He did act by faith. But he could have been killed. Now, he believed that God was going to deliver him into his hand, but it was a perilous thing to run out there with a slingshot in front of the champion of the Philistine army. So sometimes God's will might put you in a place of peril. For example, you might be put in a situation at work where you have to take a stand for the Lord or else compromise. And your job could be in peril if you take a stand for the Lord. You just take a stand for the Lord and let God work it all out. You say, I might lose my job. I think if you just obey God, God could give you another job, right? So, about the passion of faith. The Bible says, we'll be done here in just a few minutes. The Bible says they rose early in the morning. You see, they were passionate about doing what God told them to do. And faith puts a zeal in our heart to obey the Lord and live by faith. The performance of faith. Hebrews 11:30 says, after they were compassed about 7 days, they just performed exactly like God said. We don't see any arguments. We don't see any disputations. Scripture doesn't report any uprising in the camp of Israel to protest the orders. Nobody said, hey, I don't like this. We're going on strike. We ain't doing this. No matter what you say. They just simply fulfilled the orders to the letter. That's faith. They performed exactly like God said. There's a preacher, and I'm not sure who he was, but he made this statement. His last name was Simeon. He said this, true faith will not say, like Naaman, are not Arbana and far, far better than all the waters of Israel? And may I not wash in them and be clean? That's what Naaman said. He didn't want to wash in the muddy Jordan. Now, this preacher said, faith is not like that. Faith doesn't say, well, can't I do it some other way? Faith just simply goes to the Jordan River, like God said, and dips in there seven times. In other words, we're not going to argue with God. And we're not going to try to convince God that some other way is better. We're just going to do what God says. How about the publicness of faith? They had to do this out in the open. They had to walk around the city out in open. And can you imagine the ridicule that they got from the people in Jericho? Look at those fools out there marching around. Yeah, we heard this story that, yeah, they're gonna shout and the walls are gonna fall down. Yeah, they're probably laying up there laughing their heads off, right? I can tell you this, if faith is real, it will be seen in public. Sometimes it's scary to give out a gospel tract. Sometimes it's scary to say, hey, I'm a Christian. Sometimes, yeah, it might be. But if your faith is not exhibited in public, then you don't have much faith. Because real faith is going to take a stand for the Lord. The patience of faith, they had to do this 7 days. Faith will be patient. And by the way, if they had just done it one day, they would have missed the blessings of God. They had to do it exactly like God said. I imagine that was a long 7 days, don't you? But if you and I try to get ahead of God, and you and I try to go around or do something else, and we lack patience, when God is doing a work, it could cause us to miss out on the blessings. Then, of course, then they shouted, and then the power for faith. When you're living by faith, see, you're plugged into divine power. That's what caused the wall to fall down. By faith, they obeyed God, and then God did what only God can do, and he knocked the walls down. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, when the Lord said this about some of those cities that there were three cities that he said were going to be cursed because they didn't believe him. Matthew chapter 13 says this, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I have a feeling that the banner that flies above many of God's people is that right there. He did not many works there because of their unbelief. Why are so many of God's people lacking divine blessings? Because of unbelief. Look, we got precepts right here. This book's full of. Just step out by faith and obey. And God will do what only God can do. And I'll finish with this quote by Philip Brooks. He said this, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be better men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for power equal to your tasks. We serve a great God. And we need to ask God to help us to live by faith. The Bible says that by faith, let's read it again, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. After they fulfilled God's requirements to the letter, then God did what he said he was going to do. But it took faith for them to do what God wanted them to do. I can tell you this, it's going to take faith for you and I to do what God wants us to do. You might be facing some walls of Jericho. They look big. They look impenetrable. But look, you just do what God tells you to do, and those walls of Jericho are no problem with the Lord. He can just go like this, and the walls of Jericho will go just like that. He can open the Red Sea. He can knock the walls of Jericho down. Let me ask you this. Are you living by faith? Are you obeying the precepts God gave you? Many of God's people know what God says, but they don't do it. That's the most miserable person on earth. But you find out what God says and just do it, and you're going to receive the blessings of God. Let's all stand. We're going to have a time of invitation. Just right there at your place there, you can just bow your head and close your eyes. And if the Lord spoke to you about something, maybe He challenged you about your faith. Maybe He showed you something in your life that you're lacking on or need to work on, or you're not obeying in a certain area. Whatever the Lord did in your heart this morning, we just want to give you a time when you can just respond to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us these verses. Just one verse about the walls of Jericho falling down, but we know the story, and we know that the children of Israel just did what You told them to do by faith, and then You did what You said You were going to do and blessed them tremendously. Father, help us to just obey the Word of God, even when we don't understand it, even when it's scary, even when it might be perilous. Help us to just do what You told us to do. And Lord, then You can use our lives to glorify Your name. We pray, God, that folks will respond to You during this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. Miss Vicky's going to play. And if you need to just pray, speak to the Lord, whatever you need to do, you can do it right there where you're at. Heavenly Father, again, thank You for allowing us to be here. We pray that You would bless those that are working, bless those that are still sick. And I pray You'd give us a good service tonight, bring us back safely in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can come back tonight at 6, I'd encourage you to do that. We'll look at Psalms chapter number 93.